From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. And wow, what a crazy day. We've got a couple of rallies. You've got Kamala Harris and Tampon Timmy. They are on a bus tour of Georgia, and President Trump going to be doing rallies. It's going to be a busy day around here. And, of course, sometime during the show, CNN will be sitting down with Kamala and her emotional support coach. That would be Tampon Timmy. And they're going to be doing this pre-taped interview. It'll air later tonight on CNN. We do not know if the campaign was given questions in advance. We do not know if there's an agreement to stop and edit if Kamala starts, I don't know, going off on Venn diagrams or school buses or, I don't know, cackling uncontrollably. But we will do our very best to bring it to you. I'm curious to see how this plays out. Because this is softball city here, folks. Softball city. And we've got a lot of major problems happening around this country. Chief among them, what's happening at our southern border right now. And Kamala Harris is the border czar. I want to start with this crazy story. We have it up on our website, toddstearns.com. And this is incredibly disturbing. So, according to local reports in San Diego, a group of elementary school students and middle school students, they were on two school buses, and they were nearly hijacked by illegal aliens. Cut number four.
Migrants tried to board a school bus this morning while it was traveling to a school. The superintendent for the Jamul del Zora Union School District informed parents of that incident earlier today. It happened at one of the stops on the school district's bus route that heads to Oak Grove Middle School and Jamul Primary. Meanwhile, yesterday afternoon, in a similar area along another route, the superintendent says that a group of migrants tried to stop another bus. Border Patrol, CHP, and the Sheriff's Office have now been informed of these incidents. The superintendent says that for the safety of everyone, if a driver sees a group of migrants at a bus stop, they will drive past it on and move on to the next.
Well, it seems to me if that's the case and you're a school bus driver and you've got a bunch of illegals blocking the road wanting to hijack your school bus, you hit the gas. And if they don't get out of the way, well, God love them. They came to America and became a hood ornament. I'm telling you, folks, this is frightening. Can you imagine being a parent there in San Diego County and there you are in the school district and you get a telephone call from the principal saying, hate to say this, but little Johnny's not coming home because he got kidnapped. We don't know. We don't know where the school bus is. But understand this. Can you imagine how terrifying that must have been? These buses were filled with elementary school kids. The second bus filled with middle school kids. That must have been terrifying. Now, in the other instance, there was a group that actually blocked the roadway and the bus driver swerved. He should have just kept right on going. Just keep on going, sir. The other bus was surrounded by around 20 or so illegals. There were parents that helped the driver of the bus get away. And fortunately, no kids were hurt. But this is happening in America, on American soil. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you understand the seriousness of the situation when it comes to the illegals. These are not folks coming across the border to pick your lettuce. Right? These are very dangerous people. And we're talking about millions and millions of able-bodied young men, all of military age. Many of them are gang members. They have been, and these countries south of the border have been literally opening the doors of their prison, and they're sending all of their criminals, the most violent of the violent, to the United States of America. And Kamala Harris is responsible for all of this. Now, you can call her the border czar. It doesn't matter. She was put in charge of resolving the crisis at our southern border, and her ineptness, her stupidity, her ignorance made it even worse. We never thought it could get worse, but ladies and gentlemen, it's getting a heck of a lot worse. As a matter of fact, have you heard these stories coming out of Aurora, Colorado? Now, this is a this is very near Denver, and you had a lot of Venezuelans that were relocated there, and now these incredibly violent Venezuelan gangs are now controlling much of the city. The gang is transnational, and it's based out of Venezuela. They have about 5,000 members, and their motto is "Real unto death." According to Fox News, over 100 crimes can now be linked directly to this gang. A city councilwoman, Danielle Jarensky, told Fox News that without a doubt there was also sex trafficking going on. They've taken over an entire apartment complex, and people are literally living in fear as these gangs are wandering around with guns, and nobody's doing anything about it. They can't do anything about it. The councilwoman, Jarensky, said, quote, "This is organized. They patrol the property with guns visibly like they're not even trying to hide them. There's no repercussion. These are ghosts." The gangs have been seen dealing drugs in the apartment buildings. One resident who moved out of one building that had been overrun told Fox, "I literally had to borrow from everybody I know to get into a new place, and it's every bit of money I had." People are terrified. Terrified. The police department there in Aurora says they're setting up a special task force in collaboration with local, state, and federal partners to address concerns about the Venezuelan gang. This is literally coming from the Aurora PD. Jeez, hello. So this is happening in Aurora. It's happening in San Diego. It's happening in every major American city in the country. And hear me on this. It's also happening in our small towns and communities. And for that part of the story, I want to turn to the state of Mississippi. The state of Mississippi, home of Haley Baba and Jerry Clower. Yazoo City. So in Mississippi, the governor came out and announced that the government is literally dumping millions of illegals in his state. Right now, it is costing taxpayers in Mississippi over $100 million to take care of these illegals. Now, we're not talking about massive cities here. By and large, Mississippi is a rural state. I think the largest city is Jackson, and then you've got the northern Mississippi, and you've got Biloxi. That's about it. I mean, these are pretty much smaller towns, communities, smaller cities that we're talking about. And the governor of Mississippi is saying, we can't handle this anymore. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. The entire nation has been overrun. I mean, that's the bottom line here. Kamala Harris is responsible for this. And I'm wondering if Dana Bash is going to have the courage or the lady parts to ask these hard-hitting questions. And these are some serious stories. President Trump was at the border a couple of weeks ago, and he was bringing out these American citizens whose lives have been forever altered, their lives destroyed by illegals who should not have been here. Does anybody care about these people? Does anybody care about Americans? I mean, we're just supposed to sit here and take it? Last night, I was anchoring on Newsmax, hosting the 8 o'clock show, Prime News. Had Congressman Kevin Kiley on. The lawmakers in California, which is a super majority Democrat state, the lawmakers in California have passed, and I believe this is going to Gavin Newsom's desk, they have passed legislation that would provide $150,000, get this, interest-free, for illegals who want to buy a house. Now, typically, when you're going out and buying a house, it's, well, you got to put 10% down, maybe 20%. Holy cow, what kind of houses are these people doing? $150,000 down payment. Are you kidding me? And it's only for illegal aliens. So if you're an illegal alien, here's what's going to happen. Let's say that you've got a house and you're a hardworking person living in the beautiful state of California, and it is a beautiful state. Much like Memphis, Tennessee is a beautiful city. I believe was once the greatest city in all of America. But look, Democrats took control and they've turned everything they touch, the Democrats turn into crap. Blank whole cities. That's what they've done. The Democrat policies do that. And it angers me because I know my city. I know I'm getting off on a tangent. Bear with me. But I love my city of Memphis, and I hate what the Democrats have done to this city. I hate it. It's disgusting. When you drive around some of the more impoverished areas of Memphis, it's almost like you're not even living in America anymore. It's like you're somewhere in a third world country. These shotgun shacks that have no windows, no floors, and people are living. These are the policies of the Democrats that are doing this. And the Democrats hate you. They just do. They hate you. All you have to do is drive around some of these urban centers, and you'll understand exactly what the Democrats have done. Because they don't want people to live the American dream. They want people relying on the government for everything. They do. They sincerely do. So I just like for somebody in the media, I mean, we saw the New York Times and you got the Washington Post out there. I like to see these guys explain why it's okay. Why it's okay for the government to step in and take your hard-earned money and then turn it around and give it to an illegal alien so they can go buy a house. $150,000, ladies and gentlemen. What about all the homeless veterans out there? What about them? What about the people who for whatever reason, and it's a legitimate reason, they've maybe lost their job. They're living in their car right now. Maybe they're living in a tent because that's all they can afford. What about those people? Law-abiding Americans. We're just going to turn our backs on them? Is that who we are as American citizens? I mean, I'm serious. I know we have a lot of Democrats listening to. Are you proud of that? Democrats, are you proud that your party puts the well-being of illegal aliens ahead of law-abiding American citizens, ahead of veterans, men and women who wore the uniform of this country, who are homeless, living on the streets? Are you telling me, Democrats, that you can go to bed and sleep well at night? Knowing that we're taking care of every single need of an illegal alien child while American children are going to bed hungry? You're telling me you're okay with that? I got to tell you something, folks. I'm not okay with that. I'm just not. We got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let me say this. If you do not have, and hear me on this, this is not about I'm not promoting anything. This is not a sponsored segment. I just want you to hear me on this. If you do not have a gun, you need to take care of that because this danger is going to impact all of us. As a matter of fact, here in Memphis, I've been getting text messages out the wazoo over the past couple of weeks about the uptick in the number of Spanish-speaking people that are now suddenly relocating to Memphis, Tennessee. They're sending the illegals to towns and communities across the nation, and they're also bringing the crime. So you need to do whatever you need to do under the law to buy a gun, learn how to use it, and be ready. We have to be prepared because, God forbid, could you imagine what would have happened if those illegals would have actually been able to hijack those school buses and hold those children hostage for ransom? Could you imagine what would have happened? Everybody has to be prepared. You got to look out for your families. You got to look out for your property. You got to look out for your businesses. We'll be right back.
There's a communist plot to take over America. The new documentary, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, exposes the dark truth.
Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of American students.
America's schools have been turned into Marxist-Maoist re-education centers.
Here's the thing about communism. When it comes knocking at your door, it doesn't say, "Hi, I'm here to impoverish, enslave, and murder you." It says, "I'm here to liberate you from oppression."
You take over the colleges of education, then you take over all the teachers, then you take over all the students, and thus you get the future.
Beneath Sheep's Clothing, reveals the communist infiltration of America's education system, churches, and media. Will a political revolution be next? Or will we the people wake up and reclaim our freedoms?
Destroy the opposing country through unconventional methods.
Take America without firing a shot.
Don't miss Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com.
So the interview tonight, and we're going to be providing a blow-by-blow analysis over at ToddStearns.com in real time this evening. By the way, ABC News is playing hardball, and good for them. ABC News is hosting the September 10th debate with President Trump and Kamala. And Kamala Harris came out and said, well, no, we've got to have all these changes. We need to be seated. We need to be able to reference notes. We need to be able to have a crib sheet. We want the microphones on all the time. I need to have my emotional support coach there, maybe to tag in and out. And ABC News said, no, we're not going to do that. So the New York Post got a copy of an internal email from the network, and they're saying that the rules are going to be the same as the debate on CNN back in June when President Trump and the old guy were debating. Also, no audience, no pre-written notes. They're only going to allow the candidates to have a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. You know what I would do? I would make sure I would have somebody on that stage going through every single page just to make sure that Kamala's not cheating. By the way, do you think that you think they're getting the questions in advance today? You think so? I wonder if she's going to have a crib sheet. But here's what's going to happen. The first time she starts to stumble, Tampon Timmy's going to step in and he's going to save her. That's the whole, he's the lifeline. That's what this is really all about. So I am curious. So what sort of questions would you like CNN to ask tonight? What kind of questions would you like Dana Bash to pose to Kamala and Tampon Timmy? 901-260-5926, or whatever. That's 901-260-5926. So ABC News says that the originally agreed upon terms will be used for the debate. And I just received a text message. Did I say blow by blow? My apologies.
You did.
I apologize.
Can confirm.
Shouldn't have said that. By the way, someone said, oh, Kamala Harris, she's coming under fire. You know, she said she worked at Mickey D's, Dylan.
Yes.
And back when I was in high school, that was the cool place to work. I worked at Popeyes, which was not the cool place to work. We had to wear polyester orange outfits.
Wow. Not a good look.
I look like an overweight orange, bloated. Not a good look for me. Anyway, now they're saying they can't find any proof that Kamala Harris actually worked at McDonald's.
Uh-oh.
Then yesterday, she told a bunch of high school band kids, and golly, I feel so bad for those kids, but she told the kids that she played in the marching band when she was in high school.
Mm.
And so I was wondering, I was Googling, I was searching, and she's never made reference to playing in the marching band, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm curious, what sort of an instrument did Kamala toot when she was in marching band? I'm thinking maybe the mouth organ. Oh, that's
clarinet's a good one.
Clarinet. The oboe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mouth organ, that's what they call the harmonica.
Okay.
Or something like that, I think. Anyway, that's you never know. We'll have to ask her about it if she ever accepts our invitation to come on the show. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. Who lies about working at McDonald's? This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Welcome back, everybody. I have a question for you. Are you seeing Trump signs? Are you seeing Trump advertisements like commercials? Are you seeing campaign commercials for Republicans on your local TV station? Are you hearing them on your local radio station? I'm very curious to hear that. I will tell you that here in this part of the country, we're just getting pounded by Democrat candidates. Ads out the wazoo. I'm not seeing anything from the Republican side. And so I'm very curious. Now, there is a report out from a group called Ad Impact Politics, and their job or their thing is they follow the amount of money that the candidates are spending and the political parties are spending on advertising. And look, advertising is an important thing because you want to be able to get your message out there, and you also want to be able to enforce or reinforce the messaging about your opponent. So, for example, and again, we're just going through some of this, Ad Impact, taking a look at North Carolina. Mark Robinson, who's running for governor, has been outspent more than 2-1 so far, and is currently on pace to be outspent 16-1 the rest of the way. In other words, between now and Election Day, Mark Robinson's going to be outspent 16-1. So the question is, what's going on here with the Republicans, and do they not have enough money? Are they still struggling to raise money? But at this early, I mean, it's really not the early stage of the game. Because they're looking at the ad buys coming into September and October. So if you're not spending the money now, what are you doing with it? I mean, it's a fair question to ask. But that's not good that the spending levels are that out of whack. So I'm just curious, are you, and by the way, I've heard from Republican insiders in North Carolina, and they are very concerned about the gubernatorial race. Mark Robinson's a good and decent man, and we've got to get him in the governor's mansion there in North Carolina. We've got to. But we, you know, if he's being outspent by that much, the question is, all right, what's happening in North Carolina with all the Republicans and their money? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to go through some of this other spending. But just to give you an idea, this is North Carolina. All right. The Democrats for general election spending. These are the ads that have already run in North Carolina. Democrats spending $46.4 million. Republicans $20.4 million. These are the future reservations because you have to you've got to book these ads in advance. Democrats have booked $16.2 million in ad buys in North Carolina through Election Day. Republicans only $1 million. Now, I'm just telling you, there are some important, very important down ballot races. And it's going to be important for all of us to get out there and to do our part to support Republican candidates. But I'm just curious what's going on here with the money and how are they spending it? Again, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Susan in North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. Love your show. Thank you for being a voice of truth out there in a world of craziness.
Thank you.
What's on my mind? I believe the government is not taking care of our veterans because were there to be an uprising, these guys are already trained and could go against them.
Could be. I mean, when you look at it, Susan, there's a very good argument that could be made that there is a million-man standing army of illegals in this country ready to attack whenever they're given the signal.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fair concern.
What has happened to our country?
Yeah, Susan, it's a great question, and I think this goes back to something we talked to Ryan Walters about, the Oklahoma State School Superintendent. This is months ago, and he's been on a pretty regular basis. But months ago, he talked about how vitally important it was to use our schools as training grounds to teach kids to love America, to love their country, to cherish their country. And if we're not reinforcing, look, if we're not doing that in the classroom and we're not reinforcing that at home, we've got a generation of kids that just don't care, which, Susan, is one of the reasons why, you know, we see these gay rights groups and they're marching side by side with the Muslims and the Palestinians. These people are clueless. They have no idea that if they were in another country, those folks would be throwing the LGBT activists off of the rooftops.
I know that, sir.
Yes,
I do.
It's sheer ignorance. But it's Susan, it angers me. We have so many veterans in this country, and they need our help. They should have access to the finest of health care. And the way this country, this government treats the veterans, it's appalling.
I couldn't agree with you more, Todd. And also, in answer to your questions about seeing advertisements for Republicans, I only have Roku, which I love. I cut the cable cord a long time ago. But I think I've only seen two Trump ads and maybe two Mark Robinson ads.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, that I'm not surprised, Susan, but they've got to get the message out. And especially when you have, and I know Mark Robinson, he's done a fine job. He did a great job as lieutenant governor. But the problem is that, you know, a lot of people still don't know him. And so they've got, you know, the party's got to step in. The campaign's got to do a better job of getting out there. But then again, they can only do what they can do with the money they've got. So it's a kerfuffle. Susan, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Craig in North Carolina has a thought about that and about Mark Robinson. Hi, Craig. Well, what's going on? What can you tell us?
Well, I've been living in North Carolina all my life, and I've been doing construction work all my life, and I've noticed over the past, I live in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. I live in northwest Johnson County. And 10 years ago, there was no subdivisions going in around my house. I live on a little country road, and right now there's probably 25 subdivisions going in within 5 miles of my house. And all these people are coming down from New Jersey, northern states. They're all transplants from northern states, and I think they're bringing their politics with them. And I think they're going to turn the state blue, and I think that's why Stein has outraised the money over Robinson that he's raised.
What do you think about Mark Robinson, Craig?
I like him. They're bashing him in the news media. They're saying he's unfit for governor. They're bashing him. It's just unbelievable the ads they're running in North Carolina about him personally.
And you see, that's the problem, yeah, is that they are. Only one side is getting out the message, and that will have an impact, especially on independent voters, and it will certainly rally the base of the party to get out and vote, which is why the Republicans have to step up the game here on the advertising.
Well, I've been preaching it, but nobody seems to want to listen.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. And again, folks getting out and voting for Mark Robinson are going to be voting for Donald J. Trump. So, you know, again, if I see what the RNC has done, and their philosophy is, we're running one campaign. It's Donald Trump and the whole team, which is great. But you know what? You've got to take care of the team, too. It can't just be the top of the ticket guy. You've got, we've got to make sure everybody got, gets into office. Got to.
Exactly. I believe you.
All right, Craig, thank you for that. Let's go to Beth, listening to us on WSJS in the Winston-Salem area. Hi, Beth. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I'm with your previous caller. I didn't know his name, but on the Mark Robinson thing, I was telling the screener, lovely, what's her name? I
don't Lydia.
Know. Lydia. Thank you, Lydia. Mark Robinson commercials are just downing him, like just horribly making him seem like a horrible person, his whole family, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I don't like that. So I'm confused. I'm like, who am I going to vote for governor? You know, I'm not going to vote for Josh Stein. And I'm sad that Roy Cooper is going to speak tonight or is on or whatever he's doing for Kamala. I don't know. Or Kamala, whatever. But I'm confused. I want you to let me know how Mark Robinson is and everyone on your airways to why we should vote for Mark Robinson.
Well, I think, well, first of all, I think Mark has done a terrific job as the lieutenant governor. And again, for a man who had not been in politics, you know, to be elected as a lieutenant governor, I think he's done a fine job. He's distinguished himself. I think also that he said a lot of stuff. You know, he throws a lot of these bombs when he's giving speeches and to, you know, to jazz up the base of the party. And I get that. But the problem is, the other side will use those things against you. And if you don't have a long track record, if you, you know, you can't pull the past, you know, 10, 15 years of Mark Robinson's political campaign because there's not any, right? So, you know, he's done a great job. I know him personally, Beth. I've spent plenty of time with him. You know, I know him to be a good and decent man, and I think he'd be a fine governor for the state of North Carolina. But to your point, Beth, and you're a great example of this, the problem is that the other side is doing all of the advertising. Therefore, they are setting the narrative and they are painting the picture that people like you see of Mark Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's a good guy. I'm going to vote for him. He just changed my opinion. I wasn't going to vote at all, but because I didn't know what to do. But Mark Robinson should be the one.
Yeah, you got to get out there and vote, Beth. I mean, we've got to. We've got a country to save, and every single vote counts, and your state is a battleground state. So good luck, and let's see what happens. Thank you for the call, Beth, and thank you for hearing me out. Let's go to Mary, listening to us on WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. A lot of North Carolina folks today. Hi, Mary. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. We have not only have to reelect President Trump, but we've got to keep the House and the Senate. I know it can't be done through commercials, but maybe on the social pages, he can send out blasts for each state. Trump and then, you know, like Trump, North Carolina, and then who should we vote for in North Carolina? And like that for all 50 states. Because I'm in North Carolina now, but I will be leaving to Florida. But I will be, I don't know where I'm going to vote, actually. I'm probably going to vote in Florida. Because early voting here doesn't start till mid-October. But a lot of people are confused, and a lot of people don't know, even though Mr. Robinson has spoken at his rally. So let's get the House, let's get the Senate back, and take the gavel away from Schumer. Let's keep the House and reelect Donald J. Trump from these communist socialist Marxists that want to give us a new world order and end our rights, all our rights. It's not only about abortion, abortion, abortion. Who the hell cares about abortion? That's not godly.
Mary, we're going to leave it there, and I can hear you're fired up. And again, I know we're focusing on North Carolina, but I'm curious, what is the Republican ground game looking like out there? You know, we have been so focused on President Trump. The reality is we've got to have a strong ground game. I will say this, I'm not seeing it in Tennessee. That's my home state. So I'm wondering, are other states, are you guys seeing any sort of movement with the Republicans getting the ads out there, the yard signs, going door to door? Are you getting phone calls from phone banks, from your local Republicans? Are we doing every single thing humanly possible to get not only Donald Trump, but we've got a lot of other candidates we've got to get across that finish line? All right, we're going to take a break here. We will be going to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Show. By the way, you gotta do something about this social media censorship from Facebook. And Zuckerberg's written in the letter, he's admitted they've been censoring conservatives. Go to my website, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you click on the red subscribe button. You're going to get my free newsletter sent to you every morning. Every morning. That's the one newsletter. You can also sign up for my breaking news if you want it, but that's the, you get one email from me a day if you sign up for the morning news brief. And it is the only way to get conservative Christian news delivered right to you without the censorship, and it's free of charge. I don't share your information with anybody. So, again, scroll to the bottom of ToddStearns.com right now, and you can sign up. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Kevin in North Carolina. Hi, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. Love your show. I was listening to you on the radio, and the topic of Mark Robertson, and I kind of want to weigh in on my view of him. I find him to be a centered individual, come from basically nothing, poor family, single mother, who has rose up. He's a man of color, and my understanding is he don't care about race. He just cares about values. I think he's important for North Carolina to establish a foundation that makes the average family successful. He believes in God. And I just think he's what North Carolina needs. I live in coastal North Carolina, and I hope people get out and vote for him. He's a good man.
Me too, Kevin, and I appreciate that, and thank you for that call. By the way, the polling data, and this, again, it's polling data. I'm just sharing this with you. Coming out of Arizona, multiple polls showing Carrie Lake down by, in some cases, 10 points to her Democrat opponent. I'm just going to say something here and hear me out. Donald Trump is unique. First of all, he's not a politician, but he, in addition to being a businessman, he is a successful entertainer. So he knows how to work a crowd. He knows when he's getting up there, he knows what he's doing, right? We've got far too many people out there running for office that want to be Donald Trump, and they can't be Donald Trump. And the voters are turned off by that. That's all I'm saying. All right. Let me get Connor in here real quick here from Boston. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
I'll be real quick. So what voters need to remember when it comes to down ballot voting is they need to remember that if they take back the House they keep the Senate. All it takes is a few, to convict Trump in advance, then the Speaker of the House becomes president. When it comes to the gubernatorial races, that's where sanctuary cities start. It's vital that people vote Republican, and not just for Donald Trump, but for a straight Republican ticket down ballot.
That's it, Connor. Straight Republican. I don't care if they're liberal Republicans. At least we've got a fighting chance with them. We've got to have Republicans. We just have to. There is just so much at stake here. And you're absolutely right, Connor.
And we do, and we need to remember immigration, all those types of issues are on the ballot this time around, and it's one of the most important elections of our lifetime, Todd. Get out there and vote.
That's it. And look, if the Republican parties, local, state, national, need money, they need to let us know here so that we can do something about that. But there's no reason why the Democrats should be outspending us right now on campaign advertising. Connor, gotta run. Thank you for that. Also, folks, don't forget ToddStarnes.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page during the news break. You sign up for my free newsletter so you can stay informed and bypass these stupid censors on social media. Hang tight. Hour two coming up. We're just getting started. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. At this hour, we think CNN is actually doing their pre-taped interview with Kamala Harris and her emotional support coach, Tampon Timmy Waltz. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Any leaks we will let you know about as we wait with bated breath to hear from CNN. Usually they'll try to release some of the more scandalous excerpts, if you will. And when that happens, we'll bring that to you. Have you ever been to Shake Shack before? Now, Dylan, I know you're a connoisseur of chicken fingers and burgers and all that delicious food. Have you ever been to Shake Shack?
Yes.
What was your thought about Shake Shack?
I enjoyed it. I felt compelled to get a shake at Shake Shack, so I did. And it paired well with the burger.
May I just say, between In-N-Out and Shake Shack and the Whataburger, it's a hamburger. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had to choose, I would say In-N-Out is better than Whataburger, and only because Whataburger put mustard on one of my hamburgers once.
Well, yeah, that's a personal vendetta you have.
Yeah, I rebuked them in the name. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, holy cow, I thought it was like tofu.
I'm a more Five Guys myself.
Now, Five Guys is in a place all, it is in a category all of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the fact that it costs, what, $30 for a burger now?
Yeah, that it's in a league of its own that way, too.
May I just make a suggestion for Five Guys? Because I know the prices, that you know, they're having to go up because of Biden inflation. We get that. If they would just stop giving people 5 pounds of french fries, you know, just cut back a little bit. Just cut us down to two pounds. Pounds of fries.
Good advice.
And the free peanut. Do they still do the nuts?
Yes. They're just sitting on the floor, though.
They're just sitting on the floor. It's terrible. Anyway, Shake Shack is announcing they are now closing 6 locations in California. It turns out that they just can't do business because of the current economic climate in California. You say, Todd, what's the economic climate? It's always lovely and sunny in California. Yes, but there's something called a $20 mandatory minimum wage. And a lot of restaurants are, and we tried to warn Gavin Newsom and all of the Democrats out there. We tried to warn them this was going to happen. And so now they're shutting down all these restaurants. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, bring in a good friend. He is the city councilman in Wichita, Kansas, also runs my company, Dalton Glasscock. So, Dalton, I mean, you're a business guy. You know, you have to make sure that everybody gets paid in the company. First of all, hello. Hope you're doing well.
Hello, Todd. I hear it's a great day in Memphis and at KWAM. Good to talk to you.
Not really. But thank you for that. So, look, Shake Shack is now closing 6 locations across California, and it's because of the minimum wage, this mandatory minimum of $20. And, again, forcing business. I just believe it's up to the business. And if the business says, you know what, this is what we can afford to pay, that's it. But now you've got the government stepping in. Where do you stand on all of that?
Well, I know we try to treat people well, you know, at Starnes Media Group, and we voluntarily have a minimum wage of $15. And so anybody entering or anybody that works for Starnes Media Group is paid $15 because we believe that's right. However, forcing a business to do that when their income doesn't match that is just a recipe for disaster and automation. You're going to see plenty of businesses just go more towards digital screens and get rid of people altogether. The more and more that you try to jack up prices where businesses can't compete, they're going to move to computers, which are sometimes easier to deal with than people.
Or in the case of Shake Shack, it's just not worth doing business in California. And so, you know, they're closing up shop. And, you know, going back to another big issue they don't talk about, and this is hopefully going to be addressed in the interview tonight. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But there is a very popular family-owned deli in Los Angeles, one of these iconic places, and they do the pastrami on rye. They've been around for 77 years. And they're saying, look, we can't do this because of all the crime. The homeless people, folks get, you know, walking around buck naked and defecating on the sidewalks, and they're saying nobody's doing anything for these business owners, Dalton.
Well, that's the thing, especially when it comes to local government. So take L.A., take San Francisco, take Sacramento, take any of these places. Government has a role and function, and that's to enforce laws and to protect and keep our communities safe. It isn't to mandate minimum wage standards. And so when government isn't doing the job that they're hired to do and that they're supposed to do and that they're charged doing, and they decide to do jobs that they're not responsible for and they have no expertise in, that's when you get into these situations where they're outside of their scope. And if they would focus on their scope, it'd make business easier and people would be able to do business if they were focused on what they're supposed to do and not focusing on things they're not supposed to do.
Mm. Dalton Glasscock, a city councilman in Wichita, Kansas. So tonight, the pre-taped interview with Kamala Harris, you think this is going to move the needle one way or the other?
You know, I think most Americans are probably not going to pay attention, though they do want answers for policy. What most Americans are going to see is not the interview tonight. They're going to see, you know, the snippets that they're going to see on Instagram Reels or Facebook Reels or what they see on TikTok. There are very few Americans, unless it's probably you or I and maybe some of your listeners, that are going to be sitting down and watching the interview. Aside from that, most Americans are going to see whatever they see on their social media feed, which is fed through their algorithm, which is fed through their worldview. And so I highly doubt that people are going to see things that either they're only going to see things they agree with or disagree with and that riled them up. But it's going to be to reinforce their worldview because, unfortunately, that's how most of our social media systems work right now.
By the way, I think this is just fascinating. So you've got the Washington Free Beacon now reporting that nobody can verify that Kamala Harris actually worked at McDonald's in high school. And I find this story very fascinating. And I don't know if she did or didn't. They can't find anybody who worked with her. They can't find any records of her employment at McDonald's. And now the campaign is sort of being a little coy with the whole story. And I'm wondering, do those kinds of things, you know, do those really matter? It seems to me that goes to credibility. I mean, who's going to lie about where they worked as a high school kid?
Well, it can go to credibility. But then again, I didn't know that news until you just told me it. And so when we're talking about this, and I would consider myself very informed with national politics and very informed with what's going on in the country and especially the presidential campaign. And if I'm not aware of it, how does that seep into the average voter who's simply working to try and put food on their table and doesn't care about politics on a day-to-day basis?
That's why you got to listen to the Todd Stern Show every day.
Doubt to vote.
Well, there you go. Look, we just had on in the first hour, and I know you're a political guy, so I want to get your take on this. There's an organization and they track ad buys that have already happened and ad buys that are about to happen. And they're saying that at least in North Carolina, for example, that Republicans are getting their butts kicked. Democrats are spending almost 50% more in campaign ads. Are the Republicans struggling with money, or is this some sort of a strategy here?
It's a strategy. I believe it's a failed strategy because saturation is what voters need. You know, you're going to have to say the exact same message to the same person three times for them to grasp what you're trying to get them and the objective you're trying to get them towards. And so unless we're competing and making sure that our saturation is higher, because we know that the mainstream media is not our friend, unless we're pushing out our message at a higher rate, I think we're setting ourselves up for disaster and failure in November.
Mm. Dalton Glasscock on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, city councilman in Wichita, Kansas, and a Republican as well. You know, Dalton, that is concerning. And when you look at some of the polling data coming out of places like Arizona, where Carrie Lake is really struggling right now. I mean, in some polls, she's down 10%. There's not a single poll where she's actually leading right now. And my concern is down ballot. You know, you can't just focus on the White House. We've got to make sure we take back the Senate. We've got to make sure we stay in control of the House and add to our gains there. And then every single governorship all the way down to the dog catcher.
Well, we have to pick good candidates. And in the case of Arizona, we're elevating a failed candidate. And so Republicans need to do a better job at picking who our nominees are to not set us up, ourselves up for these failures moving forward. So pick good people from the start in. And it's easier to win the election.
But how do you do that? I mean, we're seeing that in some levels, you know, even locally, where they're just unwinnable candidates. And you're right. This is all about picking candidates who can win races.
We have to go back to policy versus personality. We will not win a personality contest with many Democrat candidates because we can't offer as much free stuff. But we can offer a policy. We can win when we talk about policy and we talk about issues. And when candidates try to run their race solely on their personality or their name ID or their spunk or their speaking ability, we're going to get beat by the Democrats almost every single time. But when we talk about policy, we talk about the issues affecting Americans, that's how we win at the ballot box.
I'm curious to hear your thought on this, because I've always said, and it's been my belief, that if Republicans and we are right on the issues and the policy, the problem is we get to Washington. The Democrats never compromise. It's always, always the Republicans who compromise. And the voters feel like they're getting screwed. And that's one of the reasons I think Donald Trump got elected, is that finally the voters said, you know what, enough of this. We're tired of sending Republicans to Capitol Hill. And then they capitulate to the Democrats. I mean, I understand that politics is about compromise. But why is it that the Republicans are always the one who have to compromise? But my question to you is, do you think if Republicans had actually just delivered on what they're campaigning on, that we would not even be talking about a Donald Trump presidency right now?
Well, I think it comes down to, we need to teach better civic education, that when somebody goes to Washington, D.C., they're one of 435, or they're one of, you know, if you're elected president, you're one branch of government, or on the city council, I'm one of seven votes. And if I don't get four votes, I can't do anything. And so I can make whatever promise on the campaign trail I want. But when I get there, unless I have the ability and the relationships to get three other people to agree with me, nothing's going to get done. And so the unfortunate part is we have people on a campaign trail that are making promises they can't keep to people and hoping that people will just vote for them and see past it and then blame someone else when they can't get it done, when in reality they couldn't single-handedly get it done because they may be a jerk and people don't like them. And we nominate a lot of jerks. And that's a huge problem in the Republican Party, because Democrats don't care about being jerks. They're going to go and they're going to push their ideology, but we have to relationship build if we actually want to see tangible change in this country.
Do you remember any time, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but do you remember any time that the Democrats broke with their party leadership and sided with Republicans on anything?
Probably not off the hand. I mean, especially nationally, maybe not. But I imagine locally or at the state level, there's some example of that.
Well, it may be state level. Not. You know, national. That's what I'm talking about, is national. And I can go down the list of times that Republicans have sided with Democrats, including on the god-awful Obamacare vote. It's just All that to say, we've got to get it together, and we can't mess around. There's too much at stake here, and we've got to get. And again, if the Republican Party is hurting for money, that's the problem. They need to let people know so they can step up to the plate and, you know, donate money so they can buy ads.
Well, and the difference between Republicans and Democrats is that we're the big tent party. We believe in competition of ideas, and so we're not all unilaterally going to agree with each other. When the Democrats, their policies are much more limiting, they're much more restrictive, and so they expect their candidates to go lockstep. When you're a Republican, you want competing ideology, you want a debate, and that's how the Republican Party was founded, was a debate of ideas and ideology. And so that's what separates us. Sometimes it's more of a challenge to governance, but that's how good governance happens.
It's always a challenge. All right, Dalton, got to leave it there. Appreciate it. All right,
Dalton. Yeah, I'll be tuning in to football coverage tomorrow, so take care, y'all.
All right, Dalton Glasscock, the Wichita City Councilman. Are we having football on the national show? Not that I know of.
Locally.
Oh, is that locally? Oh, on KWAM. I see. All right. No, I just, you know who created Donald Trump? It's John McCain. It's John McCain. When he was the vote in the Senate that could have stopped Obamacare, and he didn't. Remember that moment, ladies and gentlemen, when John McCain just looked up at the C-SPAN cameras, and he gave the big thumbs down, and he stuck it to every single Republican in America. And a lot of the moderates, they think John McCain is Jesus Christ. I mean, they really do. They worship John McCain like he's, you know. But I will. That's the image of John McCain for me, the man who stuck it to the American people. And that's what gave us Donald Trump. So all I'm saying here, folks, is that this is not a given. I do believe this election is winnable. But to Glasscock's point here is that you do have to put forward electable candidates. And we're about to find out if that policy, because I think we've got some candidates out there and they preach the whole America First agenda, but they're not running good campaigns. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't matter their policies are bad. It's just the way they're running their campaigns. And keep in mind, Republicans, by and large, are going to vote Republican. It's the independents that we've got to be reaching out to. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Have you heard about this crazy story involving Boar's Head meat? The deli. This is terrible. I was just at the market the other day, and I got some of their delicious ham, which will be thrown away when I get back home. This is terrible. So there's been a nationwide listeria outbreak involving Boar's Head meat. And that's like the creme de la creme of a gourmet, right? I mean, Boar's Head is always very expensive, and you think it's tasty. I mean, it certainly is delicious. It has flavor. Maybe that was the listeria. I don't know. But anyway, this is a pretty serious situation. At least 9 people are dead. Dozens of people have been hospitalized, and who knows how many people have been sick. But my understanding is, and you know, what was it, Dylan? I know Ben Dieter, the morning show host at KWAM, he's one of these, what, carnivore diets?
Yeah, he's trying to get me on it, too.
The guy weighs like 100 pounds, soaking wet, and so he's trying to put on weight? Is that?
I think he's trying to tone, you know?
He's tone, okay.
He's at that stage.
Well, tell him to stay away from the deli section for a little while, will you?
Will do.
So I'm just going to throw this out here, folks, because I'm fascinated by this story. So first of all, this is the largest listeria outbreak since 2011. And the inspectors, they went into the plant in Virginia where they prepare all the meat. And the inspectors found mold and mildew. And this is where your ham and bologna is being prepared. They also found bugs. Bugs on nearly 1,000 pounds of ham. It could very well be the ham that's in my refrigerator right now. Then they found like leftover meat on equipment. What is going on there? This stuff's crazy. So here's my question, and I know this is politically incorrect, but I feel obligated to ask. So Boar's Head is really big into hiring non-Americans to come and to work in their plants. And I'm just curious here, are they teaching the non-Americans to comply with American standards when it comes to how we want our ham prepared? This is really not good. So in all seriousness, throw away your Boar's Head meat. And I never thought I would say this, but I may have to start going vegan. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are proudly broadcasting on 170 radio stations across this great nation. Also, you can watch us on Rumble or Facebook, Getter, you name it. We're all over the place. Even on X, I think we're broadcasting our live stream. Real quick, let's go to the phones here. Stan in Georgia wanted to weigh in on that crazy story about our deli meat. Hi, Stan. What you got for us?
Hey, Todd, this is Stan, the man from Gainesville. How you doing?
Hi, Stan. What's going on?
You were referring to the Boar's Head story. I think there's one plant in Virginia that's in question. Most of the things that you get at the deli counter, like you were talking about your ham, I think that's safe. If you would go to boarshead.com, they give you a complete list of everything that is safe. And from what I understand, from what I read yesterday, the things that you get at your deli counter where they slice it are okay.
Are you sure, Stan?
Yes,
are you sure? All right. Yeah, I know. I'm not doubting you. I'm just doubting Boar's Head.
Yes, sir. I understand, but I believe it's one plant. I think it's in Virginia. It was pretty atrocious, some of the things that they had found during the inspection.
It's terrible.
But if you go to boarshead.com, it'll give you a complete list of things that are safe and things that are not safe.
All right.
And I would trust that.
Yeah. All right, Stan. I appreciate you calling in. I don't know, guys. I know Stan's a stand-up guy, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to have tomato sandwiches for supper tonight. But I'm going vegan. I'm going vegan for the day. All right. We've got a great story and a great guest coming up. There's a great op-ed in Town Hall called "The True Threat to Democracy is Something Different Than You Think." And I read this piece and I absolutely agree with the observations made by the author, who happens to be on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. His name is Eric Hoag. He is the president at Colorado Christian University. Also a good friend from way back in Sacramento radio days. Eric, good to have you with us today.
Hey, brother, it's good to hear your voice. It's been way too long, my friend.
It has. It has. And Eric, first of all, loving everything that you guys are doing there at Colorado Christian. And it's so important that we have good, rock-solid Christian universities in this country.
Well, I tell you what, more and more parents that I talk to and prospective students or students that are traditional and residential here in Lakewood and our students online, there is a passion for a Christian university to be Christian, conservative, compelling, and distinct, and unashamedly so. And I know it's niche. It's not a part of the broad swatch of the country yet, but boy, there's a migration, Todd, once again, back to something of the liberal arts and something of rigorous academics that represent the country well.
Well, I want to circle back to Colorado Christian, but I want to talk about this column you wrote, and I have been harping on this for a very long time here, and I want you to tell our listeners, what is the true threat to democracy? Because Kamala will tell you it's Donald Trump. The Democrats say, oh, it's the Republicans and Donald Trump, but you don't believe that's the case.
Well, I think, you know, the more we try to call journalism journalism, the more we fool ourselves. I mean, journalism today has lost its credibility. I mean, if to be credible, you have to be believed, and nobody believes anything. It's almost like a reality show when it comes to news reporting. Now, a different genre when you're talking about talk show hosts, because talk show hosts say my name is and I have an opinion and this is my opinion. But reporting, real reporting, Hey, reporting facts to who, what, when, where, why, and allowing people to use their intellect to determine how the facts play into what they think, what their perspective is, what their opinion, what their ideology might be. We've lost scope on that. I mean, there are so many arguments from the major news outlets and newspapers, you know, competition and social media. That's not the case. Nobody's paying attention to you anymore because you're not journalists. You're not reporting the facts. You're reporting your agenda, your ideology, and we're on to you. And they're losing money, losing jobs. It is not the social media. It's getting back to basics.
So, again, to be clear, you believe the true threat to democracy is American journalism.
Well, somebody has to keep the government in check, and somebody has to represent the citizenry and the Constitution and the fiber of this country and report in black and white form what is and is not happening. I mean, when I was a communications undergrad way back when I had hair and was a lot younger, the deal was when you took a journalism class, you were talking about an event in time, a situation in time, whether it was an investigation, an event in history, an event in current moment, and your job was to snapshot that. Get the facts. What really happened? Tell the story. Tell it clearly. When you find out more, tell it again and define it. Get it to high def and report the facts. Be a reporter. Be a journalist. And that is not what is happening today. And it's follow the money, or it's follow the follows, or follow the hits, or follow the persona. I mean, even on the situation, and I'll call out some colleagues of mine on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And by the way, it was an attempted assassination. He didn't trip and fall. I mean, you've got to report what is going on. But I watched the news on Fox. They were trying to scramble Brett Kuhn to get to a microphone, and they had a reporter on the scene, and the reporter, you know, you get caught up in the moment, and she's going through all the scenarios. I think there's been 8 to 10 shots fired. There's 8 to 10 people have been wounded, and Brett put the microphone on and calmed the situation. All we know is, Brett said, all we know is that there's been an attempted assassination on the president. It looks like he's been wounded. He got up off the stage. They carted him off. People are wounded in the stands. We do not know if we have any fatalities or not. We don't know if the shooter has been shot and apprehended. We know we have a current scene that is unraveling before our eyes. We need to stay on the facts. So I got up out of my chair and I said, way to go, Brett. Perfect. Perfect, because we'll get to the facts. We don't need to agendize the moment. Take the facts, do the job, and the truth will play it out on the end.
I think the problem here, there are multiple components to this, but first of all, the entire industry is in free fall right now. Every genre of, whether it be broadcasting or print, people are really struggling. I think the other part of that is because they don't have the deep well of resources, money they used to have, they're going out there and hiring cheap labor. I mean, when you look at the White House press corps, a lot of these kids are fresh out of journalism school, and that is the one place that they do not need to be because they don't have the context, they don't have the knowledge that is necessary to do that job and to do it effectively. They cannot put those stories into context. And I think that's a big problem. Am I off mark here?
No. You're spot on, Todd. I mean, I'll play president of Colorado Christian University. I wrote a letter to our humanities department, which is where our communications division rests and journalism is taught. And I simply said, let's stick to the liberal arts. Let's get back to it. Teach the students how to critically think. Teach them how to report a story. There's an ethic involved in here. There's a character. A moral, a plumb line, a respect for Constitution and for history. So let's get back to the business of producing young men and women who know what it means to be a journalist. Now, I read recently that in California, the legislators put a gun to Google's head and said, hey, you're going to have to pay up. Then they offered a quid pro quo, and they said, if you give money to local media outlets and run the training through Cal Berkeley, that should help things. So we'll go with that avenue. Really? Really? So now Google is forced to give money for journalism to be developed in California, and they pick Cal Berkeley? I don't see any problem there. Do you, Todd?
Well, it's but the problem is it's not just Cal Berkeley. It's also at a lot of Christian schools around the country as well. And I'm telling you, some of the kids come out of these state schools, these journalism programs, they can't even put together a news story. It's just unbelievable. But so, and that brings me back to Colorado Christian, because I'm just curious, what are you guys doing? Are you putting together a plan to really start producing and churning out these journalists?
You know, we've been talking about this for quite some time. Our chancellor, Dr. Sweeting, and I even talked about this just a day ago. There's some effort for us to get back to a basis of what it means to educate our students on journalism. I get social media influencer. We understand the different genres today, but we need to get back to teaching young men and women how to tell the story and how to have an ethic, Todd, how to have courage to have a moral position to say, you know, I don't know the full story. It may look this way, but I'm not done reporting. It may come out different. I'm just giving you what I know. I'll give you a quick example of, I was all of 20 years old. I went to Olivet Nazarene. I was doing stringer work in Chicago when the Bulls hired Michael Jordan. It's a sports story. I was doing reporting courtside for the Bulls, but I was an internship kid for WGN at the time. I remember walking Michael Jordan to his car after a ball game, doing an interview, and he offered me his shoes. And I simply said, Mr. Jordan, I'd love to take your shoes, but I can't. I'm actually a reporter, and that would be crossing the line. I would become a fan. If I can say that when I was 20 and 21, and probably today would love to have those shoes, Todd, but if I could say that then, we need to teach that now, because that ethic served me well in 18 years of media.
Mm. Well, there you go. All right. Colorado Christian University President Eric Hoge with us. The website, folks, ccu.edu, very simple. And we've got a direct link over on the live show blog, ccu.edu. One final question, Eric. Tonight, we are expecting to watch this interview between CNN and Kamala Harris pre-taped. What do you expect to come out of this?
Well, it's, so everybody going in to CNN covering Kamala Harris knows that this is a biased production. And so the viewers who want to be a part of the reality show will be a part of the reality show and like it and love it. And those who realize that this is not representing, you know, true moderation, true fact-finding conversation or questions will simply say it's a waste of time. Credibility. CNN has lost credibility. Media has lost credibility. They're not credible. So people watch this for entertainment. Todd, they no longer watch it for news, and that is a threat to our country.
All right. Well, Eric Hoge, good to have you back with us. Again, president of Colorado Christian University. Eric, God bless.
Hey, Todd, thank you. Keep the good work up, buddy.
All right. Good guy right there. Eric Hoge worked at a competing radio station back when I was at KFBK in Sacramento. That was back in the day. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to the website, scroll down, and you're going to find our red subscribe button. You're going to want to sign up for our daily newsletter. Comes out every morning around 7 o'clock with stories that you will not see anywhere else in the media. So, again, you can get that free of charge by going to our website. Of course, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, I will be hosting my Newsmax show. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. You can watch Newsmax on cable, you can watch it by streaming, or you can download the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has recently announced plans to go IPO very soon. Newsmaxinvest.com for information on that. Newsmaxinvest.com. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. So you can find out how you can buy preferred shares right now at Newsmaxinvest.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. You know, Kamala Harris and Mike Waltz on the big bus tour. Let's go to the phone lines. Old Sarge in Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Old Sarge. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. Love the show as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents worth in on your previous caller from CCU.
Yes, sir.
That man is totally spot on. A lot of people are going to be watching it, but look at it this way. Regardless of your affiliation or party, everybody loves a good comedy.
Well, so maybe we're going to see some hilarious. We're going to see some slapstick here. Maybe Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy.
It's going to start the moment she opens her mouth.
Oh yeah. Well, the good news about that is that they won't need to add a laugh track. It comes included.
Well, I'm wondering if one of them is going to reach to the other one to give them a little enforcement. You know, a little.
A little boost, a little put a little pep in the step. I don't know, Old Sarge. All right.
Well, I'm gonna get my container of buttered popcorn in a Pepsi Zero and sit down in my recliner, and I'm gonna watch it because I enjoy good comedy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to be there, Old Sarge. I'm going to be watching it as well, and I'm very anxious to see. I think CNN is going to have to ask some tough questions just to maintain some shred of credibility. Otherwise, they're just going to get skewered. And again, she simply refuses to meet with any members of the press. So there's a lot of writing on this for him. Old Sarge, appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Aubrey in North Carolina. Hi, Aubrey. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. Man, I tell you what, I have said this till I'm blue in the face, and I guess I'm just going to have to get bluer and bluer. We are not a democracy. We have never been a democracy. We are a republic. And we got people saying our democracy is in danger, and they don't even know what they're talking about. We are a republic. And it is in threat, it is in peril because of people who are in leadership in this country, most of them, don't give a flip about this country. They want what they can get from it and trash it. And we see that in the overalls. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start preaching. Excuse me.
Well, when you look at the Democrats, they are everything they accuse the Republicans of being. I mean, we're talking about multimillionaires, billionaires, who are Democrats, and they're literally calling all the shots. So when you've got the Democrats out there saying, well, we got to tax the 1%, they are the 1%. By and large, most, and by the way, just look at how they're treating and mocking Trump supporters. Oh, they're just uneducated. They're not well-educated. Many of them barely have a high school diploma. Well, who cares? I thought the Democrat Party was the party of the working class.
Yeah, right.
Well,
they used
not.
To be, maybe.
Well, maybe.
But listen, people slam Trump in social media and everywhere else they can think of. Like, do you not know that he was in office a few years back, 3.5 years ago, and that was a good presidency? The economy was in good shape. Our foreign relations were in good shape. I'm sorry, I'm preaching to the choir.
That was a great look. It was a great presidency. I mean, this country was in incredible shape. Trump promised to make America great again, and he did. And I'm pretty grateful for that. Aubrey, I got to run. Appreciate the passion there. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to the website, scroll to the bottom of the page, click that red button, and sign up for the daily newsletter. All right, hang tight, folks. Congressman Mike Collins, Art Alley, your calls, and also the best barbecue in America. We will discuss coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you guys with us today. A lot going on this hour of the program as we await reports from CNN. They're doing the pre-taped interview with Kamala Harris and her emotional support coach, Tampon Timmy Walz. So we'll keep you updated on that. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Mike Collins out of Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Man, we're doing fine. Todd, how you doing, man?
Good, good, good. So, Congressman, I know the Democrats have been crisscrossing your state on this. We're hearing it's a bus tour, but it may actually be an SUV tour. What are you hearing? What's the scuttlebutt there in Georgia?
Well, you know, we know they're in the state somewhere. As a matter of fact, we really didn't have a good idea where they were going. I don't know if they knew where they were going, but that's okay. Let them come run their game plan. We've got our own game plan going from the Republican side, and, you know, there's a lot of things different in Georgia than what it was in 2020 and what you'll see in 2024, because everybody in that state now is awake, watching. And we've made some good changes to our state on our voting rules and regs, and we're going to make sure that the country knows this time around, especially that our state is a red state.
So, and I certainly hope so. I mean, you've got two, of course, Democrat U.S. senators. I'm just wondering, how essential is Georgia to Trump winning the White House?
Oh, the path to the White House goes through Georgia. There's no doubt. And I am firmly under the belief that everybody in Georgia realizes how important that is and how important it is that everybody makes sure. And this is actually true across the country, but we are really emphasizing it in Georgia, that you don't let anything stand between you and getting your vote counted. And that is huge. I don't care if you don't like voting early, or if you don't want to vote absentee. If you have to go that route, you need to go that route, because if you sit back and don't vote, then they've already beat you, and that's actually what they would love to hear from you.
Governor, or Congressman, how are things between Governor Brian Kemp and Donald Trump? I know it looks like they made nice with each other on social media. Is that the case in reality?
Oh, yeah, it is. As a matter of fact, President Trump will be in Georgia, from what I understand, and maybe today or tomorrow, for an event, and we'll be with Governor Kemp. I'm actually out of the state today. I'm in Ohio's 9th district, up here knocking doors, campaigning, going door to door for a congressional candidate up here.
Derek Maron, I believe, is his name. Derek Maron, running for Congress in Ohio's 9th congressional district. Congressman, I'm curious. Tonight, Kamala Harris's pre-taped interview. Any questions that you would like asked tonight?
Yeah, I'd love to know why she has left our border wide open when she's the borders are. When we all clearly hear, we all have personal contacts with people that have been killed by the poisoning effects of fentanyl that has been invading our country. When we have seen these murders, thugs that have been coming across that border, killing people like Lake and Riley in my 10th district. And she's been out there saying the border's secure, and now she's saying she's going to tell me what you're going to do different and own up to the fact that you are responsible for what's been going on in this country for the past 3.5 years. She is the face of that administration. Obviously she is, because she was part of the coup that got rid of the guy that actually got the votes. So that tells me that she has been in charge, and she needs to be held responsible for not just that, but just the fact that this economy has been driven into the ground. What are her plans besides trying to tax everybody to death of getting this place back on track? She doesn't have any.
No.
Actually, Todd, that's not their whole agenda anyway. Their agenda is probably to run this place in the ground so that they can change the face and the look of this country. The actual fabric and makeup of the people of this country. That's their agenda. You know, I've been in Congress only 19 months, but that's what I have been seeing since day one. And we have got to put a stop to this November. And we have a great opportunity to do that, too, man. I'm I know I sound like it is urgent, but I have never been more excited about the opportunities we have coming up.
Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, we've been following this crazy story out of Arlington Cemetery. The families of those killed during the botched evacuation of Afghanistan had asked for President Trump to be there. And Arlington National Cemetery, as we now know, there are two very different stories coming out. But now we understand that the families asked President Trump to be there. They wanted the cameras there to document that moment. And Arlington Cemetery said no. It got to the point where they had to go to the Speaker of the House, and Mike Johnson had to intervene. And, of course, now the other side is playing politics and calling this a huge scandal. It seems to me the bigger scandal is that Joe Biden's pasty white butt was on a beach in Delaware that day instead of where he should have been honoring those families. President Trump was there. Biden wasn't there, and neither was Kamala Harris.
Yeah, well, and I think the pictures speak for themselves. You know, you just labeled it. You had one person that should have been there, and he's out on the beach. He obviously had every opportunity to go pay his respects, but he chose to hang out on the beach and take selfies with people. Mm. And then you had a person that decided that he needed to go honor those people and the families. I don't blame them. You know, they have asked Biden for answers for years and never gotten them. And it was a botched operation. And Biden, if anything, should have figured out how to pay respect for those families and those fallen heroes. But you obviously, and that's the thing. The media has always tried to cover up for this administration. They'll continue to do it. That's why they say the polls are, you know, Kamala's leading and all that mess, and they can say whatever they want. But the thing is, when he's showing pictures of him on the beach, he obviously had plenty of time to go and at least pay his respects. So there's really no excuse, and you know, it's just another attempt of to try to take down somebody like President Trump. It's not working. It's old. Jack Smith is old. You know, people are past that, and I think in good reason, Todd, if nothing else, because they feel it in their pocketbook and they're worried about making sure that they can take care of their families. And this economy is certainly gotten in critical condition.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck to you campaigning again for Derek Marin. This is a Republican running for Congress in Ohio's 9th Congressional District. Congressman, appreciate you.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on. Good talking to you.
All right, Congressman Mike Collins, everybody. You know, the congressman talking about this polling data, a lot of people talking about the Fox News poll, and I want to run through this with you for just a moment here. Fox released a series of polls in Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada, and it shows that Trump and Kamala are well within the margin of error. But again, you need to understand, these Fox News polls are always wrong. Always. They have a horrible polling department over at Fox. And it's been that way for a very long time. I mean, it really has. So you've got to take all of that into consideration when you're, you know, looking at these polls from Fox News. Yeah, they just never turn out to be true. All right, let's go to the phones here. Alfonso in North Carolina, WTKF, our great station out there, has a thought about Kamala Harris and that laugh. All right, Alfonso, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, thank you.
Sorry about that. I'm driving, so I'm a little kind of paying attention back and forth. But I just wanted to say real quick, I heard you talking, everybody's talking about how she's always giggling, she's always wringing her hands while she's talking. That step back and forth side to side. If you know anything about interrogations or question answering, that shows anxiety. That's anxiety caused by the fact she knows she's lying. And that's what brings on all that. So when you see her giggling like that and when you see her wringing her hands, you know she's lying.
Oh, the hands are all over the place. It's weird. You know, it's all very strange. And you're right. That is a sign of lying. And going back to this Kamala Harris McDonald story, Who does that? Who lies about working in high school at a McDonald's? And she originally said, well, I had to pay my way through college. But now the campaign is actually walking that back. So it very well could. I mean, maybe she did work at McDonald's, but there is absolutely no evidence that she did. And if you're going to lie about something as silly as that, Alfonso, what else are you lying about?
Oh yeah, she flip flops back and forth, and you know she's just counting on the American public being that stupid that we don't remember what she said 5 minutes ago.
It's true. Wow. It's true, and the American people have a short term memory. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And they count on it. I have a feeling that's what them vaccinations, the true meaning of those vaccinations was too. Caused some kind of issue like that. I took one of them. I got very sick. I took the Moderna when it first came out. You know, I kind of jumped on the bus, drank the Kool-Aid, was worried about getting sick. And it made me, I ended up in the doctors. I was having problems with an irregular heartbeat. I had my immune system tanked out. My testosterone level plummeted. That stuff, it down there killed me. I said, well, I don't really get the flu, so I'm going to go without the shots. I have a friend who has a brother that works for Pfizer, and he's up there. You know, he's a big to-do over there.
Well, let me jump in here, Alfonso, because I want us to stay focused here on this Kamala Harris situation, and there's just a lot of lying going on, and we've got to get to the bottom of it. Alfonso, thank you for the call. This all happened on the Drew Barrymore show when a member of the audience said, I heard a rumor that you worked at McDonald's, and Kamala says, yes, I did. I did work at McDonald's. I did fries. She did the fries? All right. She did the fries and then she did the cashier. She was pretty busy. So I'm just reading the quote, Dylan. That's all. I'm just reading it. I mean, it even shocked Drew Barrymore. She gasped, according to the story. You did? I didn't know that about you. Oh, how could you not know Drew Barrymore? Just Google. So anyway, so the Washington Free Beacon has done a deep dive into this, and they said that they cannot find any shred of evidence that she worked at McDonald's. Come on, Kamala. Come on. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I have a very simple question for you. The best barbecue in America. Where can you find the best barbecue in America? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There's a story behind that. I'll tell you next. All right, I have a question for you, and this is a major bee in my bonnet, ladies and gentlemen. This may be the most distressed I've been all day. So, any of you folks ever read Southern Living magazine? Back in the day, and I remember my grandmother used to love Southern Living, and it was sort of like the gold standard in Southern Living. You know what I mean? So, if you live below the Mason-Dixon line and you were a woman of a certain age, you would subscribe to Southern Living and you would learn how to make, I don't know, pecan pies, and you would learn how to make fried chicken. You would learn how to make biscuits. You would learn how to, you know, manicure the magnolias tree, or the magnolia trees or bushes, the azalea bushes. Is that a tree or a bush? I don't know. The azaleas and the magnolias. You would learn how to tend your garden, if you will. I know that sounds dirty, but it's really not. You want to, you know. So anyway, Southern Living. So Southern Living used to be it, right? I mean, we have a lot of Southern women that listen to this show, so you know what I'm talking about. But I don't know what happened. But over the past, I would say, decade or so, I think they're hiring a lot of Yankees at Southern Living. And here's the reason why. They came out with a list of barbecue joints. And there were the best new barbecue joints in the South. And my hometown was snubbed there was not a single Memphis barbecue joint on the list. The Commissary, Central Barbecue, Rendezvous in downtown, the Cozy Corner, none of that. There was nothing to do with dry rub or barbecue bologna anywhere on the Southern Living list. I'm at a loss for words. So I don't know what's going on over at Southern Living, but I knew something was up. Was it last year? They had an entire section in their magazine on recipes for meatless casseroles. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't care to know what that is. If there's not meat in it, it's not worth eating. And I will say this. If you show up for a Wednesday night church supper and you're bringing a casserole and there's no meat in that casserole, you may as well go ahead and head on down and join the Methodist Church. I'm just saying, that's the way things roll here in the South. We're very hospitable people. We love people. We're very open. We'll share whatever we can. You're walking by and it's a hot summer day. We're sitting on the front porch with the ceiling fans going, and we're sitting there in the Cracker Barrel rocking chair. We'll invite you up onto the porch for a glass of lemonade or sweet tea. That's who we are. That's what we do here in the South. We're good at that. But let me tell you something. You show up to, a funeral with a casserole made of, tofu? The dead person will actually rise from the grave and beat you over the head with a spatula. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works down here. Just don't mess with our barbecue and don't mess with our casseroles. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I'm just trying to understand this. What is going on at Southern Living? Have they gone completely woke over there? Because I'm telling you, I've read Southern Living, and most of the people I know in the South are not living like that. I'm just saying, something is not right there at all. So it's funny, every time somebody's coming through Memphis, it doesn't matter if it's just somebody I've met at a rally. I always tell people, give me a holler if you're coming through Memphis. I'll give you good restaurant recommendations. Glenn Beck was coming through. He was coming through Memphis and said, hey, Stearns, where's a good place to get some barbecue? And I told him exactly where to go. And so I'm curious to hear from you. Do you have a favorite barbecue joint across America? Now, I will say this. I'm a fan of the Commissary only because they do have good barbecue, but their hamburgers are better than the barbecue. And the banana pudding over at the Commissary, your tongue will slap your brain. As far as barbecue, Central. Central Barbecue is the way to go, and the sides are off the charts. All right, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Downtown Ricky Brown, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Downtown. What's on your mind?
I always want to say this, Todd. You're the greatest of all time. Wow. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Downtown. Appreciate that.
Well, I didn't expect to get on the show today, but since I'm on, I'm going to go ahead and share just a couple things with you. And I'm not accusing. I'm drawing a parallel and a comparison. I just emailed to your producer a picture that's come out. It's heading out nationwide. Now, you being from Memphis, you know all this started down on South Highland there in Memphis, Tennessee, with my good friend Lance Russell, Dave Brown, my cousin up here, Trenton. And I'm talking about the Walking Tall movies. There would never been any Walking Tall, Buford Pusser, or none of that if it hadn't been Eddie Bond, back country music guy. I've always credited him with discovering the Buford Pusser legend. And said, well, what's that got to do with my show in politics? Well, here it is. You take a look at that picture that got sent out. It just shows a picture of Buford Pusser with his Walking Tall stick there in McNary County, standing beside President Trump. And he basically just says, they tried to kill him too. And I think that makes a very good point. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I will say this. Did you see the Secret Service reports that the FBI came out with yesterday? they, one of the FBI, his exact words, he said, this is the poorest, most pathetic job of presidential security that he had ever seen. Now, I'm not putting that necessarily on the administration. I'm not putting that anywhere other than all presidential candidates. Todd, don't you think we can do better? I mean, it's just, it's by the grace of God that President Trump is still alive. Would you agree?
Well, I would agree with that, and I do think that that something very nefarious happened. I just find it hard to believe that that the Secret Service could be that inept. I just truly do. And that leads me to believe that the unthinkable may be thinkable, and which is one of the reasons why they have yet to release all of the documents surrounding what happened with JFK. I do believe that the CIA, in some form or fashion, was involved in the assassination of JFK. And I suspect if, in fact, investigations and honest investigations are done, I think that we are going to find out that there was some sort of a deep state effort here to take out Donald Trump. I just, that's what I believe.
And I would just follow up and say simply this. Buford Pusser, who worked with my grandfather, he was county judge down in McNair County during those days. They were the only two Republicans. Basically, West Tennessee, if you remember, was a predominantly Democrat part of the world back then until Ronald Reagan came in, and then the famous saying, you know, the party left me. Well, Buford and my grandfather was only two of Republicans. They wouldn't even let them make the movie Walking Tall in McNair County. But anyway, the corrupt, liberal, Democrat officials of the time, I'm going to say this for her because she's not here to say it herself. Buford's mother, Miss Helen Pusser, went to her grave absolutely convinced that the liberal political establishment killed her son. Now, I say, well, speed was involved, alcohol was involved. Okay, Todd, I'm going to give you that. But now you give me this. His tie rods drove 600 feet. Two cars pulled out in front of him. Two people tampered with his automobile at 1 o'clock that day when he was over in Memphis signing a $7 million contract to play himself in the second movie. What I'm trying to say is, folks, this country may be our last opportunity in November to save our country as we know it. I firmly believe that. Can Donald Trump work miracles? But between him and a Congress, hopefully we can save the lifestyle that I believe is be trying to be taken and robbed from us by political maneuvering. And it's almost to the point around the world, Todd, we've lost our credibility. And take a look at that picture. I think it speaks volumes. Do you remember Lance Russell and all the things going on down there in WHBQ and when the Pusser name first started? In fact, Mark Briskin of Bing Crosby Productions, he was in Memphis on some other work that particular week. And he had actually seen a newsreel. You remember Jerry Tate over Channel 3?
I do not.
They were doing a big story about Buford Pusser at that time, and they highlighted the fact that all that really started at Channel 13, WHBQ, there in Memphis. And KWOM, interesting that you're at KWOM. Guess where Eddie Bond's first radio show was back in the early 60s? And he had Elvis, and guess what? He turned Elvis Presley down one day. It was right there at KWOM. So we'll get into the history of Memphis radio one of these days because I love it. Appreciate you. And if you get a chance, I appreciate the producer letting you see that picture that I emailed, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Downtown, Ricky Brown, listening to us on the great WTJS. All right. I do want to go back to the barbecue story, if you will. This video is trending, and it's a pretty funny piece of video. You have two British dudes. And they're in Memphis. As it was really interesting, as soon as I saw the video, I'm like, those guys are in Memphis. I know exactly where they're at. They were at a place called the Barbecue Shop. And these two guys from the UK, they're on a tour of America, and they never had ribs before. They had never had ribs. So anyway, they show up in Memphis, and they're seated there. And fortunately, they had a very attentive waiter. And the waiter immediately stepped in when he realized these two British dudes who had just been given a delicious plate of ribs, they were about to use a knife and a fork to eat the ribs. And fortunately, the incredible staff there at the barbecue shop intervened, and here's how it all went down. Cut three.
We Whoa. I know you're from where you're from.
We're foreign. What are we going to do?
Stop with the knife.
You don't need a knife?
No, you pull it apart with your hand. And listen, hold up. And you take your fingers and you lift that up and you eat it.
Okay.
Not with a fork.
Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry.
Enjoy holding your food and eating it like that.
I do.
Okay.
I love eating with hands. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm sorry I let it get that far.
No. I'm a mistake completely.
We're not used to meat being soft enough to just rip it apart without a knife.
Okay.
That's not normal.
Mate, cheers.
Cheers.
The best ribs in America.
Good for you. Well, look, I'm glad those British guys, the looks on their faces when they were taking their first bite of ribs, and they did a great job. That you got to get a messy ribs as finger food, right? But anyway, it was just a lot of fun. And in the throes of all this political chaos out there, we needed a little bit of a laugh. So well done, barbecue shop on Madison Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee. All right. Kamala Harris, by the way, out there on the campaign trail, and she met with this high school band, and she's talking to these teenagers. And again, this is a high school, right? So these are high school band members, and she's talking to them like they're, 5 years old. Take a listen.
Our country is counting on all of you. You are leaders. By the very fact that you all are here in this room, doing what you do at this incredible school, doing it as one big team, understanding all of the different parts that fit together to create a team.
All right, there you go. Kamala Harris, ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend Art Alley, the founder of Timothy Plan. By the way, the website, timothyplan.com, ladies and gentlemen, that's timothyplan.com. Art, hope you're doing well today.
Man, I am. I hope you are too.
I am, and thank you. You know, Art, we were talking earlier in the day about what's happening in California, where they have this mandatory minimum wage of $20 an hour, and it's really decimating the restaurant industry. Shake Shack announcing they're shutting down 6 of their California locations. You don't seem terribly surprised by that.
Oh, I mean, how stupid. You know, what do you think's going to happen when you raise the cost of operating beyond what you're able to do? And, man, I'll tell you something. I love Shake Shack. I don't know if you like them or not, but them smash burgers, I kind of like those. But, you know, it's not just them. It's others. Yeah. What are you going to do? You raise the cost. And what you end up doing is shrinking the labor size because they're not going to pay it. Or they're going to raise rates through or the cost of food through the roof. Remember, you used to go to McDonald's and get change back from your dollar? You're not old enough for that, but I am. You know, those days are gone. And when these socialists try to, I think it's intentional. I don't know. That's just my opinion, but. They're trying to destroy our country, and they hate free enterprise. They hate private. They hate everything that made America great. So, of course, they're going to be shutting down or laying off or raising prices. I mean, you don't have to be a genius in arithmetic to figure that out.
Art, I'm curious, what are, you know, when people are calling in, are they raising concerns? You know, what kind of things are they worried about with the economy?
Well, you know, the economy is kind of being propped up a little bit in some ways because we've got a nation that is sinking on quicksand in debt that can never be repaid. They see that they can't afford to go to the grocery store, and they know that that's a problem, and that's going to hurt the economy. They can't afford to fill. It's like when we were teenagers, you know, you'd pull up to a gas pump, and you get 25 cents worth of gas because that's all you had. You know, those days aren't, they're coming back, it looks like. They are not stupid. They see what's going on. They know they're struggling, and if they're struggling, things ain't good. So they are concerned about that. But all we can tell them is, you know, if you're going to invest, you're not investing in a stock market. It's a market of stocks. And if you've got quality money managers, and at Timothy, we've been blessed with best-of-class managers. We don't manage the money. We have firms do it that are just best of class. And if they own for you companies that are profitable, low debt ratios, innovative, and well run, whatever happens short term in, you know, markets are up and markets are down, and that's based on fear and greed. And but if you're looking for value and stay the course and quality companies, you're going to do okay. But I'll tell you what, I am a little concerned. I'll feel a whole lot better when the election's over. Not that Washington, D.C. is going to solve our problems, but Washington, D.C. has certainly created our problems. And if we get somebody with some common sense kind of at the helm, we can bring this thing back. It's just crazy. It's been an intentional trying to destroy our nation, in my view. And, you know, why would anybody want to do that, Todd?
Yeah, it's a great question.
That's the question I don't have an answer for.
Art Alley is president, or rather founder, of the Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is the website. Rethinking the way you think about investing. And Art, you've been coming on the show for a long time talking about how important it is, especially for people of faith, to invest in companies that are affirming biblical values.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't have, they really don't understand if they're not in the business. They just depend on somebody giving them advice. But if anybody wants to call our office, we will give you a free analysis of what you own and what those companies are involved in. And it may shock you. So give us a call. We'll let you know, because we do that research. We know what these companies are doing, and why would you want to invest in a company trying to destroy you?
It's a great point. And again, a lot of people may not even be aware. You know, you this looks like a pretty good company, but you guys weed through all of that. So you do all of the hard work. You do the heavy lifting for people before they invest.
That's exactly what we do, Todd. And then our money managers are able to manage all of our funds around those companies that we will not allow them to own, because they're trying to destroy our entire culture. I mean, it's crazy. But they're finally starting to back away from it. And with that, you know, all this ESG and DEI and all of that, company after company are starting to wake up. They're like politicians, you know. Politicians, I think, and it's kind of a joke, but I think it's true. They can't do, they don't know how to do much, but they know how to count. They can count votes. And companies count votes in terms of dollars. And when people are starting to walk away from these companies because they're pursuing these ultra-liberal, crazy agendas that are hurting their profits, they're starting to wake up. And that's encouraging to me. Todd, I wish we didn't have to screen anybody out. But, you know, we're not going to own them if they're involved in trying to destroy our culture.
Mm. Again, Art Alley on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the founder of Timothy Plan. And you mentioned those DEI companies. I know Ford has become the latest big company to walk back those diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. And Art, I don't know about you. I just want the best person for the job. I don't care what skin color they are. I don't care if it's a guy or a gal. I just want the most qualified person either operating on me in the hospital or flying my airplane.
That's exactly right. Amen, brother. You know, and that's the way it's always been, and that's what made America great. Competition. If you're the best qualified, you ought to get the job, and you ought to get the job done right. All these agendas trying to turn us into a communist nation by destroying the free enterprise system, which is ultimately, I think, what they're trying to do. You know, we've just got to walk away from them. And money talks. And if you stop investing in these companies and stop shopping, buying their products, as long as they're pursuing a crazy agenda, you're going to get their attention.
All right, Art, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. But it's always good to have you on the program. Always so much great information and great wisdom you share with us.
Oh, you're a good guy. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
The great Art Alley, ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Timothy Plan. And I am telling you, it is so interesting. And especially, you know, you may not even be an investor, all right, but it's still really helpful for you to go and check out their website. And they're going to, you know, for example, if there's a company that, let's just say I'm going to create a company that's now, let's say Kmart. Remember Kmart back in the day? Let's say Kmart was selling, I don't know, booze and porno magazines. And you don't want to invest in a company that, you know, sells booze and porno mags. Well, you know what? They're going to have that information there. Is Kmart out of business? I hope they are. Because I don't want to disparage a company. But what I'm trying to tell you is there are a lot of times that you may not even be aware of what some of these companies are supporting with their profits. And if you are a person of faith, or maybe you're a conservative, you don't want to support companies that are supporting left-wing causes. That's why you need to check out Timothy Plan. Again, timothyplan.com. All right, we got to scoot out of here. 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. We will see you on TV next.